The following program is sponsored by Cecil & Sons Discount Tires and Tulsa Gas Tech. The opinions and suggestions expressed on the following program are solely those of the participants and are not necessarily endorsed by KRMG, Cox Media Group Incorporated, or the program sponsors. It's an Ask the Experts weekend on News 102.3 KRMG. Welcome to Wheels with automotive experts from Cecil & Sons Discount Tires in Sand Springs and Tulsa Gas Technologies, your CNG expert, here to answer your questions about your car, truck, or SUV. To join the program, call 918-460-KRMG. That's 918-460-5764. Or you can text your questions to 95920. The Ask the Experts weekend rolls on with Wheels with Lloyd Boland, Troy Cox, Tom Sewell, and the host of Wheels, Denver Fox.
Well, this woman had her car broken into. It was a Honda Civic and parked right in her driveway. But unlike, you know, situations like this in the past where the perpetrator might have swiped the car radio or things in there, that's not what they're after nowadays. We'll tell you what they're stealing out of your car coming up here in just a few moments on this edition of Wheels. Good morning. Welcome in. It is 7:07. I'm Denver Fox. We got the panel of experts. You're just in out of the fog. Tom Sewell with Tulsa Gas Technology. Still a little bit foggy when you came in just a few minutes ago.
It was spotty from the dam all the way into downtown. So I don't know if it's elevation, but it was spotty.
Yeah, some areas of fog, so your mileage may vary. And the fog advisory has been lifted now, so technically it's all going to go away here very shortly. You know, it seems like it was just a very short time ago that we were telling people how to get their lawnmowers and their small engines and tractors ready for spring, ready to use them to mow lawns and things. And now it's time to get them ready for winter.
You have to. If you don't, you'll be buying new ones in the spring.
You might. But that's one of the things we kind of talked about last week a little bit. And so we went in depth here. And I've still got maybe, I'm guessing maybe one more mowing is what I'm kind of shooting for. I'm hoping that'll do it. But
if it was dry, I would mow today. But it's not dry enough in my house to mow.
Yeah, I've got one or two areas that I really want to get close. And by the way, if you're mowing for winter, to leave it for the last mowing, mow it high so it gives a little insulation to your
grass. Oh, yeah, that's what I do.
To your grass.
I'm fighting gophers right now real
bad. Oh, man, me too. Molds.
They've gone crazy.
Yeah, they're nuts out there. So what do you start doing when you put your mower up?
Well, you know, I've always done it. I like to, after I put my mower up, I like to get the hard things fixed right now because you can't get them in a shop here coming the spring. So if I've got something I need to get in a shop somewhere, I'd try to do it right now. That way, you know, they always keep them for a month anyway, no matter what. Even if they fix it in 5 minutes, they keep it for a month. But I try to get that done. I try to get my new blades on order. If they come in, I'll try to stick them on. But one of the things I do when I finally put my mower up is I take the battery out and bring it inside and keep it warm. And I can keep those cheap batteries lasting 4 years sometimes.
Wow.
Instead of buying a battery every single year by just bringing it inside and charging it and keeping it charged. And I don't ever just set it on the ground. I put it up on something where it's not keeping the cold in it.
Yeah. I do that as well. So I keep mine in a garage, but I hook it up to a little trickle.
Yeah,
charger.
It's good to do because the battery will die on those things. And, you know, and I try to change the oil now. And there's a kind of two people that one guy will say, drain all the fuel out of it. I like to put the stable in and or sea foam in my fuel. And since I never run the ethanol-laced fuel anyway, I don't have to worry about some of them issues. But
That's always – you don't want to leave that setting
anywhere
very long. You don't
leave that in there. If it's in there, run the mower out. I mean, run it out of fuel.
Oh, absolutely.
Carburetor and everything.
Troy Cox with Cecil & Son Discount Tires in Sand Springs and in Sepulpa. That's one of the things you have talked about a lot is putting stabilizer in. Even if you're leaving just gasoline left over set in your garage, it's a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, every time I fill up my cans – year-round, I run stable in them because, I mean, you're running basically the stuff you buy at the box stores or at the, you know, anywhere you can buy stable. It's typically about 1 ounce for 2.5 gallons of gas. So, you know, you're adding pennies per gallon of cost, and you know your gas, even if it's regular gas, you know, you're extending its shelf life to 2 years. And if you've got 4, 5, 6 cans, and if you've got some property, you probably do, you try to rotate, you try to make sure you get through, but, you know, with the stable, yeah, it's not such a big deal. And since I started using stable year-round, I've had, the only carburetor issues I've had is we actually had a throttle, the pivot, actual shaft wore out, a bushing wore out. You know, that's just mechanical wear. I've had no fuel-related issues at all. Crud, coming up on 10 years.
Wow. That's a good idea.
You deserve a new mower.
I didn't say I didn't have mower issues. I said I've had no fuel issues.
You know, I said I had one more mowing. I probably have one more mowing, but with the leaves, when they fall, you're going to want to chop those up and everything. So really, you're going to be using your mower maybe another month or so. And you go with the theory of draining it, just using all the fuel up in the mower?
I run stable year-round, and I'll even fueled up year-round. I mean, we've got a lot of trees on our property. I like keeping the leaves mowed up so it doesn't kill the grass.
Yeah.
And so I may mow several times through the winter, depending on how, you know, often the trees choose to dump, because they seem to dump, you know, in waves. Yes. And we never get a full leaf drop.
Just by the time you think you got them all cleaned up, here the wind blows and you got another bunch of leaves to clean up.
And, you know, there's another issue. He's talking about changing the oil, and I agree. Look at a synthetic. I mean, your mower is typically going to hold, if it's a push mower, half a quart, two-thirds of a quart. You know, even if it's a rider or a zero turn, it's going to hold a quart, quart and a half, maybe two. So you spend an extra $2 or $3 a quart for a full synthetic. It flows better in cold temperatures. It lubricates better. It, especially on air-cooled engines, handles the higher heats better. Again, you know, if you're buying the cheapest oil you can because it's just a mower, yeah, you probably are enjoying buying a mower every 2 years or 3 years.
Maybe so. And Tom, you use what kind of oil?
I use Super Synpro in everything I have.
Super Duper Synpro oil. Yeah, that's the synthetic oil made right here in Tulsa.
Yep,
pumped
right
out of the synthetic well right here in Tulsa.
It's a plastic oil well.
That's right.
Well, anything else would be, you know.
Synthetic.
That is true. Lloyd Boland is here, the king of the crankshaft, the guru of the garage, the inventor of PC 41 Plus, the headlamp restoration product, and any tips you do on small engines?
I do. Well, I'm allergic to grass, so I don't mow. So, but I have a power washer at work, same thing. And we have to service it. We have to put non-ethanol fuel always in it, or it'd be toast in a heartbeat. And the other thing is, I have a mower that we use. Matter of fact, I bought it from you years ago. We use to move cars around with. Mm-hmm. It's very handy. We moved my trailer with it. We got all. It's got a little hitch on it. And it's we actually had some flames on it at one time.
But because flames make everything faster.
It's all those kind of things. And it. They're so susceptible to little bitty tiny passages causing problems that if you don't take care of them like these guys are saying, you're going to be in trouble. And they're really a pain to work on. I mean, they're so little and everything, but we're just used to working on stuff we can walk up to and get a hold of.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And it's a different world. It really is.
Yeah, it is. It is. 7:15 on the KRMG Saturday Morning News. Already got a caller on the line at 918-460-KRMG. You can call us about, you know, small engines. If you've got lawnmowers or riding mowers you want to talk about, or any kind of automotive problem, we'll visit with you. And, Michael, you are up first on wheels. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's going on?
I have a 2004 Toyota 4Runner, and last week when it was cooler, I was running the heater. I had heat on the driver's side, but not on the passenger side.
Yeah.
And I've checked my coolant level. It is good, so I don't know what's going on.
It'll be in the control in your car. Do you have right and left control on the heat?
I do not. It is all one system.
Okay. Well, you've got a door. It'll probably be controlled by an actuator. And that you've got a problem there. Some of the cars, I'm not sure if that year will have the diagnostics, but some of them you can go into the diagnostics and you can determine which one it is exactly. But usually it will be an actuator motor, which is a plastic motor that moves the doors, what it actually does.
Okay, so it's not closing and letting cold outside air in.
Right, yeah.
All right.
It's called
Thank
a blend door,
much.
And that's what moves it and gets the air mixed.
Okay. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
All right, Michael. Thank you. Thanks for your call. Appreciate it. It is 7:16. October is National Car Care Month.
And it's a good month to take care of your car. But, I mean, we were talking earlier, it's always a good month to take care of your car. We were laughing, walking, and talking about stories of vehicles coming in with no oil on the dipstick. And, you know, I think we could all agree, regardless of our political or religious affiliations, that having no oil or low oil engine is a bad thing.
Yes, yes.
So, yes, there are oils 5,000, 7,000, 10,000 plus miles between changes depending on the vehicle's service cycle. You still have to pop that little lever in your vehicle, open that big piece of metal on top we call a hood, and check your oil. And while you're there, look at your other fluids. You know, if your brake fluid in that translucent reservoir is dark, that means it's absorbed enough moisture that it's starting to break down. Anti-lock brake parts, the valves that cycle 4 to 6 times a second to let you maintain control in a panic stop, are really, really expensive. Fresh fluid protects them. If your coolant is off color, try to figure out why. You may have something as simple as it's just breaking down from age. Every fluid in your car will die of age at some point. Or you may have the start of a head gasket issue or an oil leak or a transmission leaking into the radiator. Be familiar with those colors are and look at them, you know, at least once a month. The money you can save yourself catching something early versus letting a problem continue until parts are actually breaking is tremendous.
Yeah, and if you do a lot of driving, it's more than just to work and back every day. You need to check it a little more often than a month.
I make a strong case, I think, for popping the hood every time you're filling your gas tank up.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
On my truck, I've got a 34-gallon tank. I'm not pumping that in 3 or 4 minutes. You know, if I run it down to the quarter tank, which is normally as low as I would ever go, I've still got 7-8 minutes. What am I going to do? Stand there and talk and text or cruise the news? Or I can pop my hood and look, you know, my fluids are good. I have that confidence, that security in knowing that I don't have a problem under there. And the more often you look at it, the more visible changes are going to be to you, the sooner you're going to catch them. And again, the money or motor you save may be your own.
Yeah,
maybe they'll remember this. Normal oil usage is 500 a quart, 500 miles. You can use one quart oil in 500 miles, your motor is considered normal.
So even if it's a new car that doesn't burn, you know, you don't see smoke coming out, it still uses oil.
Yeah. Now, you don't see a lot of them do that, but it's not considered anything to get excited about.
All of them burn microscopic amounts of oil just through normal use. What he's talking about, though, is if you've got a new vehicle, and we ran into this with a service truck we'd bought years ago, you know, it was burning a quart every 500 to 700 miles. And we're going, this is a brand new, you know, one-ton vehicle. It shouldn't be doing that. It's like, well, that's within normal tolerances.
Yeah.
So you have that concern when you buy a new vehicle, and hopefully if any of the listeners experience that, they'll get better outcome than we did on it.
Wow.
But as your vehicle gets older, oil consumption will increase. But if something like a EGR or PCV valve goes out, you can go from using almost no oil to using a lot of oil in a heartbeat. And again, if you're not checking it carefully and often, you could miss that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to add, we don't agree with that. I don't think we all agree on it at all. 500 is normal, because I still don't think it is.
I don't think it is.
No,
the factory says it is.
Well, we deal with our company a lot of fleet vehicles, so the driver doesn't own the vehicle.
Oh,
and
no.
So there is a
lack of concern necessarily.
Yes. Yeah, so it's a problem we deal with when we bring them in for service. We pop the hood and they're 2 quarts low. And,
wow.
You know, and there's a. There can be a disconnect between, you know, the driver and the vehicle. So if you own a fleet, you know, you need to have a good service shop. We check oil for free at our shop. Yeah. If you're part of our fleet program, just drive by. We'll check your oil.
And the worst thing, Denver, you can get down to almost no oil before it will trigger the light.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
But you're still doing damage.
Yeah.
The other thing to think about this time of year, especially if you've got a spare car or you a driver that doesn't drive a lot, pop the hood anyway. If that vehicle's been sitting out there even a week, you may find squirrels or other rodents have decided that's a nice, warm place to, you know, spend the winter.
That's right. This time of the year, there's going to be all kinds of wildlife that's looking for a warm place, and your engine may be one of them.
Yeah, so. I mean, we're actually pulling cabin air filters out and finding acorns and straw, you know, in the passages.
That's common.
Nests built under hoods.
7:21 on a Saturday morning, I'll tell you what people are stealing out of your vehicles. Coming up here in just a couple of minutes on this edition of Wheels. The fog is lifting, hopefully. Sunshine later today, 71 for the high, it's 55 in Tulsa. This is Wheels on an Ask the Experts weekend on KRMG. Hey, If you're like me and you're thinking about converting a vehicle to compressed natural gas, you need to talk to Tommy about all the rebates, the tax credits. They help you cover that initial investment. And gas prices are going down a little bit right now. $2.49 a gallon is what I saw coming in, Tom. But
I've seen that.
But, boy, this thing is so volatile. It's up. It's down. You never know when it's going to go sky high again. And CNG prices, you're locked in for a long, long time on these.
We are. We normally lock in for a year at a time. We're fixing to lock our 2019 prices. We know without a doubt we will be $1.55 through December 31st. I can lock it for 10 years if I want. It's so stable right now.
Yeah. Well, it might go lower. So you
might go lower. Yeah.
Yeah. Good deal. Anyway, you get more information about CNG and what vehicles are EPA compatible, all the information about it. Talk to Tom about it and call him at Tulsa Gas Technology. And also have information on your website about that too, don't you?
You betcha. We have a whole section on vehicles.
All right, TulsaGasTech.com. The link is on our wheels page, which is at KRMG.com. 7:25 here on this Saturday morning. I'm Denver Fox. Let's take a call here at 918-460-KRMG. And Alice, you heard us talking about filling up or getting your tank down to a quarter of a tank, huh?
Yes, I try to keep my vehicle full most of the time. Am I doing wrong? Should I let it burn down, you know?
Not necessarily. No. I mean, the issue we see with the majority of fuel pumps that we replace are people that don't put gas in their vehicles until the warning light comes on or till it's buried in the red.
Okay.
My rule has always been, and my wife will shake their head and roll their eyes, but you know, a quarter tank's empty because if that fuel pump gets exposed to air in the tank, that gasoline floating around, it's actually what keeps it cool. So it's running hotter, and heat is the enemy of pretty much everything mechanical.
Okay.
But yeah, keeping it full all the time, there's nothing wrong with that. You've got a safety margin there. If, you know, we get an ice storm or bad weather, you know, you don't have to worry about, oh, my goodness, I'm almost out of gas and I can't get to the grocery store.
Yes.
Yeah, if it's not inconvenient for you, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
No, the cure for that is to run out of gas on the expressway.
You do that once and everyone would do what you do.
Thanks, Alice. Appreciate it. Be careful this morning. All right, this woman, she was visiting Disneyland in July. She got an alarming text from her mother. Someone had broken into her 2017 Honda Civic. It was parked in her driveway in the Los Angeles area. It's a home out there in Montclair, California. But unlike the past, when a perpetrator might have swiped the car radio or, you know, you can see things inside. Remember the days when they just rip your radio out? That's not what they're stealing nowadays. The thief stole something much more valuable, the driver's side airbag. And repairs and replacement parts and cost for that, about $2,000, including her $500 insurance deductible. So her first reaction, of course, was shock. But they said, well, why do they need an airbag? Because they're worth a lot of money, aren't they?
And, I mean, that's not even a brutal one. There are airbag modules out there that are $4,000 and $5,000 a piece. There are cars that get totaled every day, not because they have a lot of sheet metal damage, but because the 2 or 3 or 12 airbags that went off in the crash just totaled the vehicle out.
Yeah. Apparently, they're specializing in the relatively new Honda cars for apparent resale. And repair shops or unsuspecting online customers buy those things a little cheaper, I guess, and put them in.
Probably you're dealing with two thieves. One that's buying it and one that's stolen.
That's right. You may be. Yeah. But in general, though, airbags are a lucrative target for thieves. They're expensive and prices sometimes topping $1,000 and easy to portray as a legitimate thing, too. So just be aware of that. 7:28, latest news from our 24-hour Fox News Center next on KRMG. Okay, grab your brewski, which is 6-point beer, by the way, now. Get up on the table. Let's do the chicken dance. It's got to be nice weather for Oktoberfest, Lindy Oktoberfest, the fifth best Oktoberfest in the country, right here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You believe that? Anyway, it's going on through the weekend, so get out to River West Festival Park and enjoy that this weekend. Good morning. Welcome back to Wheels. It's our Ask the Experts weekend, 7:37. I'm Denver Fox, and we've got it's October, which not only is Oktoberfest, but it's National Car Care Month. So we want to even more encourage you to maintain your car, check your oil, do some things like that. In fact, Tommy, it'd be a good time for fleet maintenance from Tulsa Gas Technology. Do something nice for your car. Give it some fleet maintenance. And you do this for not just fleets, like people, you'd think a big bunch of trucks or cars or delivery trucks, but you do it for individuals too.
Oh, we do. The mom and dad fleet is a big fleet. It's a very important fleet because you don't want them kids running around, walking around, actually.
Yeah. So you'll check their oil for them if they just bring it in, right?
You betcha. If you're on that 10,000-mile oil cycle, bring it by. Let my guy pop the hood because he's going to check the power steering, the antifreeze. He's going to check it all, take him 5 minutes. We do it all the time.
By the way, you still need a mechanic?
Still need a mechanic. I need a good mechanic. Give me a call.
All right. If you work on that.
Could you use a part-time one?
Yeah. Hey, you have to get a haircut.
The two half-timers together, and you got a full-time.
There you go. 7:38, back with Wheels here. We were talking about earlier on about getting your lawnmower and small engines ready for the winter weather. One of the things I see, I drive around, I'll see people leave very nice riding mowers just out in the exposed to the elements. You know, if you don't have a shed or if you don't have someplace to put your mower, cover it up. Put a tarp on it. They've got covers for most of them now. At least shelter it a little bit from some of the winter weather. It'll certainly make it last a lot longer.
Well, yeah, and it's some of them you can buy a car at the same price.
That's about right. I agree with that. We had a caller, Dorothy, called earlier on. She didn't hang on the line, but she had an electric weed eater, and it really wouldn't matter if it's electric or not, but the bump feed on that. I've had that replaced recently on mine, as a matter of fact. And anyway, they
they're a pain.
They are
so
a pain.
There's not much fixing on them. The best thing to do is go down and get a new one. And a lot of times, the electric weed eaters are so cheap. By the time you buy the bump feed, you're already into half the price of the weed
That's
eater.
That's right.
So you got to watch that as well. And usually when you start taking it apart, there's one bolt that holds it on. You pull it off and take a screwdriver on the back. Can you see my hands here?
Yes.
You pry it off and it comes right off.
See, if you're watching on the left side of the radio dial, that's what he's doing that. But, you know, I had a weed whacker that still got it, as a matter of fact. I probably had it for, I don't know, 15, 20 years maybe. It's a long time. I can't remember. But it got to be where it was such a pain to work with the bump feed that I finally took it in, and once they replaced it, it's just like a new
I know.
It was really great.
I've got to get one right now for mine, and I've got a great weed eater. And the bump feed's wore out. I've used it so much, and it's just part of it. It's about every other year for me on a bump feed.
Yeah. But you can buy the bump feeds at your size, but if you have a more common or more widely available brand, you can go to a Lowe's, to a Home Depot, to a Tractor Supply, to an Atwoods, and buy just a replacement head.
Yes.
And once those springs inside start getting weak and the feeding's becoming a problem, man, save yourself a ton of frustration and time and just get the replacement head.
Well, what's happening on mine is the little grommet where the string comes out, it gets sharp on that one end, and it constantly breaks the string.
Breaks it off, yeah.
And so that's what's happening to mine.
In fact, I lost the grommet. I had to put I got new ones in one time, and that helped for a while. But getting a new one, boy, it just makes all the difference.
Yeah, if you can get the parts for them, that means it's worth paying the money for a good one, doesn't it?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And, you know, if you've got one of the bigger ones, they've got the heads that you don't actually have bump feed. You just use a very heavy diameter line and loop through in a U.
Oh, yeah.
We've gone to those around the house, and, yeah, it's worth it.
Hey, let's talk real quick about something that's coming up in just a couple of weeks, the Two Angels Toy Run.
Absolutely. That's Saturday, November 10th. It will start at the Tulsa Community College campus on 41st Street, right across from the Armory, the Guard Armory. It's a great event. It is celebrating the all too short life of a couple of Sand Springs young women we lost in a tragic accident. The Toy Run part of it, of course, collects toys. You can bring the new unwrapped toy. Those go to take care of Angel Tree needs with the Salvation Army. The funds raised by sponsorships are used to award scholarships to area students. They've given away thousands of dollars of scholarships over the years, and it's just a great event. You got a car, you got a motorcycle, you want to participate in a toy run. This is a great one to participate in because you're not only helping make Christmas special for area kids with the Angel Tree side of the program, you're helping, you know, encourage sponsors like ourselves, you know, who want to support the event. But as a business, you got to look at the marketing aspects too. You know, if it's a big event, more of us are willing to throw our money at that. And again, those scholarships in the name of those two young women are a tremendous part of the program. It's just a great event. And if you're available the Saturday, November 10th, I invite you to come out.
And people want to get more information?
The Two Angels Facebook page has all the information, time, dates, routes, everything you would need.
All right, sounds good. 7:42 here on Wheels. All right, I got a message here just handed to me from Bert Williams. Is this Bert? Are you? Is this your question? You want me to just read it, or you want to tell us what? Okay, I'll just read it. Okay, he's got a shimmy. This is, sounds like a rock and roll song from the 50s. You
know? Yeah.
It's got a shimmy Cocoa in the front end. I've had those, though. It's, actually, he thought it was caused by unbalanced tires and rims, so he had the rims tested without the tires, bought new tires, didn't help. The shimmy is not consistent and can happen from 45 to 65 miles an hour from 1,300 and up to 1,900 RPM. So,
okay,
front
is
or
it
back?
Front?
Yeah.
Steering wheel? Can we hear him?
Is it in the steering wheel or the rear end?
Yeah, turn Bert on there. Let's Bert, tell us what your situation is.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. It's in the steering wheel. You can feel it, and it just the steering wheel just shimmies, and it's not the back end. It is definitely the front end of the car.
What kind of car is it?
It's a Mustang.
Okay.
You've started with the most obvious part. You know, do you have a bad tire, bad wheel? Next thing, check the front end. Look for loose front end parts, especially if you find that the shimmy is triggered by hitting a bump.
No, basically it's triggered mostly by acceleration. But again, it seems to go away once I hit 1,900 RPM. It will go away. It doesn't matter what mile per hour I'm at 1,900 RPM. It just seems to disappear.
But it's just in the steering wheel. You're not feeling it in the seats or the floorboard in your feet.
No. I have had the car lowered. It's got shorter springs and heavier suspension on the front end.
When they lowered it, did they change the offset bushings to offset bushings on the rack and pinion?
No, I put in an offset screw that would allow them to adjust for the lowering of the car on the front end, so it could be balanced. So it could be. What do you do with those front wheels?
Alignment.
Cars?
Yeah. Okay. When you lower them, for every inch you drop the car, you're losing basically 2 degrees of camber. So when you drop any car, not just the Mustangs, you've got to make some kind of arrangements. And the Mustangs there's a tremendous number of vendors that have good plates, upper mounting plates, to let you change camber caster. But when you lower that car, you're changing the angle of your tie rod ends. So a good lowering kit will either offer as part of the kit or as an option replacement bushings for the rack and pinion where it mounts to the car. Because if you don't have that rack moved up, your tie rods can now be moving at an angle excessive. You can actually get them high enough where you can break a tie rod over the end of the housing. That may not be your shimmy, but that's certainly a significant safety issue.
Yeah, do you look good driving it?
I look great.
Okay, well, then I wouldn't worry about the
bottom. That's what counts. Yeah. Right?
I mean, I would still look at the front end. The other thing you could look at is, and we ran into this once, I'm not saying it's a high probability, but a front U-joint going out, especially given it's RPM sensitive, is a possibility.
Now, where would the front U-joint is on the transmission?
On the drive shaft.
On the drive shaft, okay.
But, I mean, your transmission, that car is short enough, sometimes vibrations can travel and surprise you.
What year was your car, did you say?
It's a 2010.
The other issue
could be a motor mount or something.
Yeah,
too.
It could be. It could easily be a motor mount. If you kick it out of overdrive into third, what does it do?
It revs real high.
But does the vibration go away?
There's no vibration. Yeah, it goes away.
Okay. The other thing you might look at is you've checked your transmission fluid recently. The fluid level's right?
No.
Automatic, right?
Yes.
Okay. Check the fluid level first. Then the other thing you can do is go to any parts store, and there's a small bottle of friction modifier for lockup torque converter transmissions. I mean, it's literally like an ounce and a half. It's very small. And you can just add that through the dipstick. If you've got the lockup converter sticking, sometimes adding that friction modifier will keep that from doing it. And normally that lockup torque converter is going to lock up between 45 and 52. But if you've changed rear end, changed tire height, that can change it. But if it's not locking up properly, if it's chattering, it can give you a pretty severe vibration that happens over a fairly narrow range. And then once it does finally engage, it can go away.
Good suggestion. That's called a chuggle, by the way. It really is. It's called a chuggle.
Or, Bert, you can just take your car over to Cecil & Son Discount Tires in Sand Springs or Spalpa. Let them check it out.
I could do that, too. It sounds a lot simpler than what you're doing.
Seriously, I don't know that it has anything to do with your vibration, but if that rack... you really need to look at the angle those inner tie rods are coming out of that rack, because if they're a very acute angle and you hit a bump and go really far down, you can literally snap them over the end of the housing, or you can break the aluminum housing.
Okay.
Don't
thanks,
do that.
Guys.
All right. Hope that helped you there, Bert. 7:48 here on Wheels. About 7 o'clock, the fog advisory went away. However, the fog didn't pay attention to that, and fog is staying around. So they have reissued another fog advisory that's in effect till 9 o'clock this morning now. So dense fog advisory in effect, and there are some areas around Tulsa that's got some fairly dense fog. In fact, some areas, it's like zilch, zero visibility on some of the area cameras we have. Looks like at the airport, maybe about 3 or 4 miles visibility. Other areas, it's half a mile or less. So your area will determine that. All right, it is 7:48 here. Let's see. Let's go ahead and take a break here. And got a couple other things we want to pass on here on this edition of Wheels on an Ask the Experts weekend on KRMG. Got fleet maintenance from Tulsa Gas Technology. Of course, that keeps your vehicle running good, as we're encouraging to do here during October, National Car Care Month. But also, they can help you with the commercial paperwork that you may have with most commercial vehicles. And you can check their link on our Wheels page at krmg.com. You can also, on your website, Tom, download a little pamphlet you got that really kind of condenses all of the different rules that you really need to pay attention to.
Yeah, so I looked at it logs you when you download, for we can just see how many. Mm-hmm. And it's downloaded about 40 a month is what's happening right now. So it's a good book, and share it with anybody. You know, it's free. We don't ask much from you. Like to get a little business from you if you need help, but it's a free book, good book.
I see trucks and trailers pulled over all the time. I never noticed them before until you pointed this out, but they are out there doing this all the time. And if you get caught and you don't have the right paperwork, you don't have the right equipment set up right, lights or whatever, you could be in trouble big time.
You betcha. And the stinky part about it is they got a deal called out of service violation.
Oh,
and you
bad.
Are parked until it's fixed.
Oh, so if you got a load of stuff that needs to get somewhere, you could be stuck.
Yeah, and it stinks.
And a lot of times it's not just a horrendous safety issue that's going to, you know, leave you dead a flaming ball of wreckage.
Nope.
Some out-of-service calls that park you are relatively minor stuff.
Well, the last one I got was a taillight during the day out of service.
Oh, wow.
I was parked until we got the taillight fixed.
Wow. Mm. So you got to get that stuff checked out there. All right, Lloyd Boland's here. Lloyd's the king of the crankshaft, and he's an inventor. He's invented all kinds of stuff. The clutch alignment tool, you invented the Wayback Machine, and you and Mr. Peabody and Sherman go on back in time. And
who do you think was running the camera for the Mr. Sherman and Peabody?
Yeah, that's right. He invented that stuff. But he's also invented something that's really good for the maintenance of your car, the PC41 Plus headlamp restoration product, which will take the haze out of your lens on your headlamps. And boy, if you're in the fog today, you need that.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Need all the headlamp power you can get.
And it will make all the difference in the world in the appearance of the car. But above all, it's a safety feature. And if you clean it well, it's just, it amazes me sometimes when I use it how look good it does.
Yeah, you don't really, it looks a little fuzzy.
Yeah.
And man, this thing looks crystal clear. And you guys have used it all the time over at Cecil & Sons, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, it works. It works well. It's a fairly simple process. We can sell you the kit if you want to tackle it yourself. If you don't, we're happy to provide the service. And again, you know, we're car guys. So having a vehicle with, you know, cloudy lenses is appalling to us.
Yes.
But the safety issue is really what we should be keying on here, because in the dark, you can't avoid what you can't see. And if your headlights are hazy or frosted, you can't see as far. So your time to avoid something coming out of the darkness is reduced, sometimes tremendously.
Yeah. So it's a good product. PC 41 Plus is the name of it. And you can get it from Lloyd, or actually your website's got the links to it. We got the link to on your Facebook page.
We got Facebook page. Well, I appreciate all the people that go on that. I fail to check it periodically because I don't do a lot of Facebook. But it's we've got a really good response on it on there.
And we talked last week a little bit about one of your other inventions where you recycle free heat from your furnace. And what is your website?
Website is www.freeheattoday.com. And I left off the today. Well, I don't.
That makes a difference. Yeah, that's the
wrong
website. I'm
just now beginning to use it, and I just forgot it. So
freeheattoday.com.
We had some people already calling about it.
Yeah, it's I've seen it work. Your office is heated, and
it's
got a garage. It actually captures heat that's going up the flue, basically out the exhaust of your house.
It's through convection. I really think the biggest market's going to be garages at home because it will heat your garage up, and you go out and your car's warm.
Yeah, it's very nice. All right. Tulsa Gas Technology. You guys, of course, convert CNG, and with the price of gas just going all over the place, this is a great, great product. And it is clean burning, too.
It is great clean. I mean, you can take an engine apart, a couple hundred thousand mile engine, and they're so clean on the inside. It's crazy. It's just hard to explain it to somebody unless you've pulled a sludge motor apart and seen that.
Yeah, and you're building stations all around. If people want to get information about the CNG, about the Blue Energy fuel stations, they can text CNG to 313131, and you might want a tank full of CNG, or you get a beanie.
You betcha the beanies are in. We've got beanies, and glad to let you have one.
All right. Cecil & Son Discount Tires in Sand Springs and in Sepulveda. You've always got rebates, all kinds of great deals on tires.
Absolutely. Anytime you want to check, go to cecilandsons.com, hit the promotions button. All the current rebates available are listed there. At this point in the year, you've got, or at least this month, you've got rebates of up to $200 per set on select set of Goodyears, of up to $175 on select Coopers. We've got several companies offering $60 and $70 rebates on sets. Monroe's, of course, running their annual Shocktober event in October, rebates on ride control products. Good time to get your vehicle ready for the coming winter season.
Sounds great. And the Two Angel Toy, November 10th?
Saturday, November 10th.
All right, very good. Guys, have a great weekend. The news is next on KRMG. Baby.